You're listening to the Bookstorian Podcast, a podcast for book lovers and bookstagrammers. Hello and welcome to the Bookstorian Podcast. My name is Tegan and I am your host. This is the first episode of 2024. And if you listened last year, you probably would have heard that I really wasn't sure on the direction that I was going to take the podcast this year. And I've ummed and ahed about it for a little while, but because I am a Chapters for Change ambassador for 2024, I thought, why not make a little mini series that sort of goes alongside the readathon. So on this first episode, you're going to hear me talking to Sally, who is the CEO of Chapters for Change. And she also has a bookstagram at I'll Read My Own Way. And then you're also going to hear another two episodes along the way. So we do have planned a episode that will drop when the readathon starts with some other bookstagrammers and ambassadors that will talk about how we are going to go about completing the readathon. And then to end the readathon as well, there's going to be an author interview with myself and another ambassador, as well as an author, and we're going to have a chat to them about their book. Now, their book is also a buddy read. I don't want to tell you too much about it at the moment because I don't want to spoil it, but here is the very first episode, and I hope you enjoy this little mini series, which is going to complement the Chapters for Change readathon this year, and make sure you check out the show notes for any of the links that you may need. Hello, and welcome to the Bookstorian Podcast, Sally.
I am so happy to be here.
You are one of my first guests in a little while, I would think at least a year. So it's nice to have somebody on the podcast for a bit of a change.
Yeah, so you're not just talking to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not just talking to myself. It's so much more rewarding talking to other people about books. And I thought for something a little bit different, we would do a little mini series that is sort of running alongside the readathon that Chapters for Change is doing in July. So if you're listening to this episode, you're definitely going to hear a little bit about Sally's bookstagram, but primarily about Chapters for Change and the readathon as well. So stay tuned for that during the episode. But to start with, we always start with an icebreaker question. So this is a little bit more of an old school bookstagram podcast. If you have been listening for a while, this format will sound very familiar to you. But that icebreaker question I want to ask you, Sally, is if you could buy one book from your TBR shelf today, what would it be?
Well, I'm a big fan of World War II historical fiction. And actually, I read someone said the other day that if you like historical fiction, but you don't like World War II historical fiction, there aren't many books in the genre for you. But luckily, I love it. So for me, it's The Underground Library by Jennifer Ryan. And I actually have this book on hold with my library, but I'm getting really impatient because I requested it. They bought it and somebody swooped in and got it before me. So I might just end up buying it for myself.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah. I was having a nap when the email came in.
Oh, and what's the, in terms of, like, we know it's a World War II novel, but whereabouts is the Underground Library based?
In London, I believe, and I think it's set during the Blitz. I could be wrong because I read so many books in this genre that they all just end up merging into one. It's crazy.
Yeah, I found, because I really enjoy historical fiction, but I found that the market was so saturated with World War II and I became really like fatigued with that content. And I recently read The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah, which I had been putting off for so long because I felt really fatigued by World War II, but I'm glad I have finally read it.
I haven't read that one yet. It is on my list, but it gets to be too heavy. Like I'll go through phases where I'll read heaps. And yesterday I just finished The Wartime Library by Kate Thompson. And it was such a heavy book that now I just have to read a Babysitter's Club book.
Yeah, just to break it up. I'm a mood reader too. So I find that same thing. Like I can't go on to like heavy novel after heavy novel after heavy novel. Otherwise I just won't want to read anymore.
Definitely.
My book that is sitting on my TBR shelf that I would like to buy, and I actually haven't seen it in stores yet, is How to End a Love Story by Yulin Kwang. I use Storygraph. This is just the little preview that AI generates, and it says, How to End a Love Story is a good fit for readers who enjoy contemporary romance novels about two star-crossed lovers who must navigate their complicated past and present feelings for each other all while working in the high-pressure world of TV writing. And I enjoyed a romantic comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld last year. So I'm kind of like interested to see how a book like this might compare. Or even I enjoy stuff that peels back like television and theatre and movies. So I'm kind of hoping that this book, whilst it has a bit of romance and it also has that little like behind the scenes stuff as well.
That's why the Marry Me Juliet series is on my TBR pile. And actually, Jodie McAllister is one of our ambassadors because I think that it does peel back that reality TV aspect. And I loved that TV show Unreal.
Oh,
That
okay,
was, it was so full on, but based around the reality TV dating shows. So yeah, I
Yes.
think your book sounds good.
Now I've just remembered what that television show is, and I remember, yeah, watching it on Stan. I don't think I ever finished it
Yes.
though. I think it just got way too heavy for me, and I was like, I can't read this. I can't watch this anymore.
I know it was very heavy, and the ending, I wasn't very happy with, but it is
Yeah,
what it
okay.
is.
Yeah. So we have actually connected with one another over Bookstagram, and have been following each other for quite a while. But for those listeners who haven't got you on Bookstagram, obviously I need to go and add you immediately. But can you describe your feed?
And so my username is I'll Read My Own Way. My feed is minimalist because I am what I call a book minimalist. I own 15 physical books. And once I read a book, I give it away. So I also don't like to own too many possessions because I have in the past and it just makes me feel icky. So every book I post, really the book is front and center with just some nice minimalist candles or flowers in the background.
Yeah, nice. I would struggle with passing on my books so much. You can probably see like my five bookshelves behind me, and I have another one elsewhere in the house. I just can't
Yeah, I
give
hope there's no
it
earthquake.
away. Yeah. I'm worried that the second story of my house is just going to collapse one day because there's too many books upstairs.
A news headline that will make.
Yeah, exactly. And can you tell me your Bookstagram origin story? I always like asking Bookstagrammers this question because sometimes there's a story behind the handle, there's a story behind why you started it, and I'd like to hear yours.
So I started mine back in January 2022. So it's been like almost 2.5 years because for a few years I'd been posting about books on my personal Instagram. And then I just figured that those people were sick of it because they were there to follow me, not my books. So I was like, okay, I want to find new book people. So I chose my username, I'll Read My Own Way, because people can be so judgmental about books and how you're supposed to read and what you're supposed to read and when you're supposed to read it. And I just, the name says, no, stuff that. I'll read what I want and when I want. And if I want to read popular books, I will. If I want to reread books I read when I was seven, like last year, I reread all of the Babysitter's Little Sister books, I'll do it. So that's the story behind my username.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. And I thought to have a bit of a book chat with you today. I'd ask what are three books that Bookstagram made you buy, and what are your thoughts on these? So I guess this kind of contradicts a little bit about why you've started your account, but I'm sure you inevitably buy or read or consume books that you see on Bookstagram regardless. And I also have some to share as well. So I'll let you start. What's the first book that Bookstagram made you buy?
I think this will be of no surprise to anyone, Fourth Wing, because that was just saturated. And I do not read fantasy. I have nothing against fantasy. I really want to read it, but my brain just can't comprehend it. And so I was like, nah, I'm not going to read this book about dragons. But I ended up loving it. I still didn't understand half of it, but I'm glad that I read it. And I'm glad that the saturation of Bookstagram encouraged me to read that. So I got out of my comfort zone. So that was a good thing.
Have you read the sequel yet?
Yeah, I did it with a buddy read, with a Bookstagram friend, and I understood it a lot less than the first one. And I feel like it could have been quarter of the size less. There was so much teen angst, even though they're not technically teenagers. I'll probably read the third one, but I'm not super keen.
My first book that I'll share with you today is Book Lovers by Emily Henry. Came up and had a look at my shelves before we recorded, and I was like, right, what What's on here that I've rated really highly that I think Bookstagram definitely made me buy? All of Emily Henry's books, Bookstagram have made me buy just because I don't want to like miss out. There's definitely a bit of FOMO there. If you don't know what Book Lovers is about, just a quick little synopsis is Nora is a passionate and determined literary agent. Charlie is an editor with the Midas touch. Cursed with losing her many exes to small town romances, Nora is more determined than ever to focus on her career and her pregnant sister, Libby. That's until Charlie waltzes into her life over and over again. I think that if you like books that explore sisterhood or love, I highly recommend Book Lovers. And if you have read it, I also have done an episode on Book Lovers as well, probably 2 years ago when it first came out with a bunch of Bookstagrammers. And it's a little bit tongue in cheek, which I like as well. Like if you like romance and you like tropey romance, it's kind of like it also kind of pokes fun at romance. But I'm definitely looking forward to reading Funny Story as well, which I've seen like lots of people have got the preview copies. And that's just all over Bookstagram at the moment. So excited for that one too.
So, have you read all of Emily's books?
Yeah. That would be my favorite.
See, I read Beach Read on the beach. I bought it specifically for a beach getaway, and I couldn't get through half of it. And then I gave it to my friend, and she does not read, but she read the whole thing and she loved it. So there you go.
What's your second one?
That's a recent one because I follow a Bookstagrammer. I think her username might be Sally Ann Books, and I mean, same name as mine, Sally. Of course, I'm going to follow her, but she reads middle grade fiction, and nowadays I am obsessed with middle grade fiction. And this is World War II middle grade fiction. It's called I Spy a Bletchley Park Mystery, and it was just so good. And there was even Winston Churchill made an appearance in it. I can't give anything away, but yeah, I'm very glad she gives great recommendations that most of the time are really hit with me. So that was a good one.
Cool. I know that World War II often has quite heavier themes, but I think sometimes is it a little bit more pared back in middle grade as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Still, I've read a lot of middle grade World War II fiction this year, but and a lot of them are very heavy and I end up crying reading them. And a lot of them I've discovered because of Bookstagram.
Yeah, beautiful. Often middle grade is written as like educational purposes, but it also builds empathy in readers too, which is a really like important part of teaching students about, especially like World War II and other world events as well.
Definitely. I learn something new every time. There is so much about World War II that I do not know. And I just, yeah, learn something from every book. It's great.
And so many different perspectives too, like across
Yes.
different genders and demographics. And my second book is Yellow Face by R.F. Kuang. Read it last year. Holy moly, like just devoured it. Absolutely devoured it. If you haven't read Yellow Face yet, or you haven't seen it and you have no idea what I'm talking about, here's a quick little overview. A struggling author, June, meets up with her long-term college frenemy, Athena, to celebrate her Netflix deal. Later that evening, Athena is dead and her unpublished, unheard-of manuscript is in June's bag. What follows is a psychological thriller that makes you question your own morals, who gets to tell what story, and the world of publishing. And it, I think for me, what I loved about it the most was really what it made you think. Like, if that was me, what would I do with that manuscript? If that was me, how would I react? What would I do if the shoe was on the other foot? And I think particularly what I liked about this book too was it was such a good book club book because there was so much to discuss. There were so many questions I walked away with. And I just also love the way Rebecca F. Kuang writes. There's just something so consuming and intelligent and passionate. I was really lucky to hear her speak last month, went to her author chat here in Brisbane, and just hearing her talk so eloquently about the issues in the books. I really love what she has to say about own voices as well, and her opinion on own voices. And I think that's really clear in this book is what she thinks about own voices, especially being a female Asian writer as well, and her experience within the publishing industry. So it just sort of peeled back a lot of that world for me too. And as you were saying about World War II novels, I feel like a lot of time I read novels for that perspective and that understanding of the world around me. And Yellowface is just one of those books that's really stayed with me for that reason as well. You've read this one too, haven't you?
I just like you, I devoured it. I loved it. It made me so uncomfortable, which it should be.
Yes.
And oh God, it was just so good. So
Yeah,
good.
I'm looking forward to her other novel, I think, isn't coming out maybe at the end of the year or maybe it's next year. A little bit more fantasy where like two college students need to get a recommendation from their professor and their professor's died. So they have to like go into the underworld and get the recommendation.
Sounds
Yeah,
hilarious.
hopefully I've got the right lingo there. But yeah, it sounds again, like I said, I don't really do fantasy. And I did read Babel or Babel beginning of this year as well before I went to see her chat. And I don't know, just because it was rooted in the real world, there was definitely something there for me. But yeah, she's an awesome writer, really great writer.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, what's your third book that Bookstagram made you buy?
Well, this isn't really a book, but books by an author, and that's Tessa Bailey, because she's all over my Instagram, and so I kept buying her books and reading them. But then I realized I'm just so sick of the toxic relationships in them, and so now I've given up. I'm not reading her books anymore. I realize that I'm just past that. Maybe if I was younger, I'd be like, yeah, cool, toxic relationships. But I'm 38. It's not something I want to read anymore. So that's a miss for me.
And was there anything in particular of hers that you did like at the time?
The one that I did like at the time is Hook, Line and Sinker. It's the second in a series of two books. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, the Bellinger sisters. And that actually made me go out and buy a record player that I never use, but that book influenced me. And most recently, I think I was reading My Killer Vacation when I was like, nah, I've had enough.
I've only ever read Window Shopping.
I didn't mind that one.
Yeah, I think I mean it was my only one of hers that I've ever read. Sometimes I like a slow burn romance, sometimes I can't handle it, but I think there was something about that book that it was so hard and quick and fast, and there's too much trying to happen in that book, and I haven't picked up another one of hers. My third and final book I wanted to talk about was Green Dot by Madeleine Gray. And I felt like looking across what I had, I really wanted to talk about some kind of Australian fiction because I feel like I do read a fair bit of Australian fiction. This one has been around a fair bit. So in October last year, I spotted this book during Love Your Bookshop Day and I read the blurb and I was like, this sounds really cool. But often when I go to a bookstore, I try and only buy one book per bookstore, just because I like to spread around the love. And especially on Love Your Bookshop Day, my book club and I go out and do a book tour of some of the bookstores in Brisbane. So I only really wanted to buy like one book. And I also find I'm very careful about what I do buy. So often it's got to be a book that I've been thinking about buying for a little while that I think I'm going to enjoy. Otherwise, I will often get it from the library if I'm unsure. So I had picked it up. I had read it. I was like, oh, this sounds great, but there's another book that I wanted to buy instead, and kind of left it. But afterwards, I then saw it on Bookstagram and some really great reviews on it. And I was like, you know what? I do need that book. I do want that book. So I did end up going back and buying it and reading it. So essentially, what Green Dot is about is, I know whether or not I think the sad girl novel term is kind of like, I don't know, it's problematic. I understand it's problematic, but I like that like messy millennial idea. So that idea of a woman in her 20s or early 30s, and there's some kind of like crisis going on. Maybe there's a number of things that have gone wrong for this person. But essentially, Hera starts a new job, quite sort of run down by the idea of having to work and being a part of that machine of working. And she also then gets caught up in an affair. within the workplace as well. So the book is primarily about the affair and that impact and that effects that the affair has on her. It's definitely very like messy, but it's intimate. It's also a little bit like funny at times as well. The relationship that the lead character Hera has with her dad is really cool too. Like it's a little bit unusual to what you often read about when you have a female that's under like having an affair essentially, and quite often it's that whole idea of like daddy issues comes up. But in her sense, she has a really good relationship with her father. But yeah, there's just something that was really consuming about it. Like I just did not want to put it down, and I thought it was really great debut by Madeline Gray. So I would highly recommend that one, and it's certainly one that Bookstagram made me buy.
Well, you have influenced me. I'll check it out at my library.
Yes, add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
So, Sally, to end the chat today, I wanted to give you the floor to talk about Chapters for Change. So, I do have a few questions for you. If you are listening to this, I highly recommend that you do get involved. Stick around and listen to this part of the chat, because it is essentially why I wanted to get Sally on the podcast and to give her a platform as well. So, firstly of all, can you tell us about Chapters for Change?
So this is really exciting. It is a readathon for adults, and that's because 1 in 5 Cambodians over the age of 15 are illiterate, and only 38% of teenagers are enrolled in secondary education. And those statistics are really bad. And we know that when Cambodian children have access to quality and culturally appropriate education, they are then better positioned to secure stable employment opportunities. And so, by facilitating access to these literacy projects, you're laying the groundwork for brighter and healthier and more stable futures for kids. So, that's where this readathon comes into play. It raises funds for locally run literacy projects in rural Siem Reap in Cambodia, and it gives people the chance to set a reading goal and connect with other readers. Because, as you've said before, Tegan, reading can be lonely, but this is a great way to connect with readers online. And so the funds that we raise from this readathon support a preschool program, English and Khmer, which is Cambodian language classes, and a library. And all of these programs are run by local Cambodian staff who can provide stability and consistency and culturally appropriate education.
Yeah, and I think you've definitely answered exactly what my next question was going to be, is why people should get involved. And I think it's because you're part of a readathon and you're part of something that's bigger than yourself. Is there anything you
Definitely.
wanted to add for that?
Well, the thought of a readathon makes me so excited. Like, it's bringing me so much joy to organize this because I loved when we used to do the readathons as kids and have the Scholastic Book Fairs and those Scholastic Book Clubs. So, if you're longing for that nostalgia, then this is for you. So, there is a $25 entry fee, and this will provide a Cambodian child with a library membership, but you'll also receive a registration pack in the mail. And there's all of these activities throughout the month, and we're organizing 8 different buddy reads. So, you can read a book at the same time as other people and connect over the storyline. And we've also got an online panel with Danielle Binks, Matthew Spencer, and Jodie McAllister. And there are also so many opportunities to win prizes because publishers and bookish businesses have really been backing this. So the more active you are with your reading and the fundraising and connecting, the better your experience will be.
It's really well said that like not only are you doing it for something that's bigger and more imp that, well, something that's bigger than yourself, but there's also some great incentives and some great opportunities to connect with other bookstagrammers or authors or even just other readers in general. So if people are listening to this and it's definitely something that they want to get involved with, how do they go about registering?
So you just go to chaptersforchange.org and it just takes a couple of minutes to register. And so you can sign up as an individual or you can create a team. You might decide to sign up as an individual now and then join a team later. That's fine as well. It's really easy to do.
Right, and I'll make sure I pop the link in the show notes as well to for people to be able to register. Because if you
Fantastic.
are listening to this podcast episode when it is released, it means that registrations are already open. So you can go and do that immediately. So you can jump into the show notes, click on that link, and pop on to register. So once you've registered, when do we actually start reading?
We start reading July 1st. So I do suggest to register soon because Australia Post can be really slow with letters nowadays. So I do want you to get your registration packs and start getting active and prepared.
Yeah, awesome. And finally, if you are listening to this, but you would prefer to donate and get involved that way, how can people donate?
So that's super easy. Just go to chaptersforchange.org and your support really can go a long way. For example, a $25 donation can support a child with a library membership, or $90 can provide 6 months of language classes, which is insane. I mean, that's not even a day of preschool in Australia. Or $150 can actually equip the library with 50 new books. So your money does make a big impact.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Book Story and podcast, Sally.
I've loved it. Love talking books.
Best of luck with the readathon, and I look forward to sharing a little bit more along the way with our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Bookstorian podcast. If you've enjoyed it, show your support by following, subscribing, and rating the show wherever you listen, as well as sharing the podcast on social media. Check out the show notes for a list of the books and other media mentioned, as well as links to register and donate for the Chapters for Change readathon. Finally, make sure you head over to Instagram and follow my latest guest, as well as my Bookstagram @bookstorian_ and podcast account @thebookstorianpodcast.